This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're glad you've tuned us in, and we trust the program will encourage and bless you, and will speak to you if you really don't understand the things we're talking about. Now, again, you can contact me through my website, and you can contact me by regular mail, and I'll give you those addresses at the close of the program. Remember, you can re-listen to this program on my website, and you can read a weekly meditation there, as well as some tracts and testimonies, questions and answers, and some other information that you might find helpful. That will be on the website, and so you might want that address as well as my mailing address. So if you get a pencil and a piece of paper out, you can write them down at the close of the program. Now we're going to continue with our study of the Old Testament prophecies that were fulfilled in the New Testament, using as our theme verse 2 Peter 3:18, which says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." And while we've looked at this verse in many different ways, the one thing that has struck me as I'm looking at it just now is that there's a now and there is a forever. And we live for the now, and we believe that we're going to be here forever, but we're not going to be here forever. And friend, this program is all about preparing us for the forever. And I trust that you are prepared for what comes after this life, what comes after the events in this world are all over as far as we're concerned, because the Bible says that it is appointed unto man once to die. But after this, there's an after this, there's the judgment. And so we need to be prepared to meet God. And that's why we preach so fervently on this program about the value of the work and the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, because it's only as we trust in him that we'll be really prepared for that forever that we read about in that verse. Now, as we've been looking at these prophecies, Old Testament prophecies that were written 400 years before the Lord came, and in some cases written 1,500 years before the Lord came, and in some cases that 1,500 years was when the prophecy was written down, but the prophecy deals with a period of time at least 4,000 years before the Lord came. And to see the fulfillment of many of these prophecies, it just boggles my mind to think that there are people who think the Bible is just a book of myths, a book of fiction. I don't spend a great deal of time trying to prove that the Bible is reliable, but this should prove to any skeptic in our audience that the Bible is reliable. And it should prove that when the Lord came into this world, he came not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And that's very simple. And he that believeth on him is not condemned, and he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And I'm going through these prophecies not only so that we'll know something about who the Lord really is, and so that those who come to faith in the Lord Jesus can grow in the grace that he offers. That is, they can become grace, they can show grace in their life like the Lord showed grace to us. In addition, they can enjoy the grace, the free gift of his salvation. And so we're doing that to be a help to those who are saved, but we're also doing that so that you can be saved and know that the only thing that divides us today, as far as God is concerned, is whether or not we have believed that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, last time, as we were looking at these prophecies, we noted that he would make his grave with the rich. And we looked at that from Isaiah again in the Old Testament, Isaiah 53. He would make his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. And today we want to look at the fact that he would be raised from the dead. And this is probably one of the most important parts of the prophetic program. The Lord said when the disciples didn't understand this matter of his death, his burial, and his resurrection, he told them there would be no sign given them but the sign of the prophet Jonas. As Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so would the Lord be 3 days and three nights in the bowels of the earth. And so the Lord predicted his resurrection. And as we come to Psalm 18, verse 9, we read, "Therefore my heart is glad, my glory rejoices, my flesh also will rest in hope, for you will not leave my soul in Sheol," or that's the unseen state, the grave, "but you will show, nor will your Holy One see corruption." That is, he's not going to be deteriorate. His body's not going to deteriorate like a normal body, because he had never sinned, and sin had never was never going to affect him like it does us. And we would read that's in Psalm 69 and 10. And then in Psalms 49 and verse 15, it says, "But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave. He shall receive me, Selah." And we could look at other scriptures in the Old Testament that deal with resurrection, but these deal with the Lord's resurrection and predicting the Lord's resurrection. And the Lord then predicted his own resurrection. As we already said, he referred to the sign of the prophet Jonas. And when we come to Matthew 28, verses 5 and 6, when they came to the tomb, the angel answered and said to the women, those women who came to the tomb, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified." Now notice this statement, "He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay." And that is an important part of the gospel. We're coming up to Easter now in a few weeks, and we're going to celebrate the truth that the Lord was raised from the dead. But do you really understand that it's because the Lord is living that he has the power to save us to the uttermost who come by faith to him? Acts 2 and verse 22, this was the thrust of the message that was preached by Peter on that day. "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it." And so the resurrection was being preached to the Jews at that time that were wondering about all that had happened in Jerusalem and had been wondering about the things that they had heard about, and now are seeing the power of the Holy Spirit on this group of Christians. And Peter makes it clear that Christ has been raised from the dead. Now, if you go through the Acts of the Apostles, it seems that the Apostles' doctrine emphasized that the Lord had been raised from the dead. And it was that truth that they tried to impress upon their listeners so that their listeners would understand that Christ had to die, he had to suffer before he could reign, but in being raised from the dead, there was proof that Christ was who he claimed to be. And we'll also then look at the fact that he ascended into heaven, and that we're waiting for him to come again. But the point is that this resurrection was the thing that should have made the children of Israel realize that their Messiah had come and that he had accomplished what God had asked him to do. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says, "For I delivered unto you that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. He was buried, and he was raised again the third day according to the Scriptures." The third day was prophesied basically through Jonah and through his being 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly. It was prophesied in Psalm 16 that he would not see corruption. His soul would not be left in Sheol, in the grave, and he would not see corruption. And he's been raised from the dead according to the scriptures. And so as we look at the scriptures, the Old Testament scriptures, it gives us confidence in the fact that the Lord is the Savior that he claims to be. We are not done with the Lord. I just love those words when the women came to that garden tomb, and the angel said to them, "He is not here. He is risen." If you ever go to Israel, I think you'll find a garden tomb with those words on a plaque. At least the friends, my friends who have gone there, always seem to take a picture of that plaque that's on that garden tomb. And I'm not absolutely certain that the garden where that plaque is. It has the tomb, the original place for the original tomb of the Lord Jesus. A lot of these places that we say are historically accurate, there seems to be some question about whether they're the actual place where these things took place. But it doesn't make any difference whether they're the actual place or not. There is this plaque, and it reminds us of this truth. He is not here. He is risen. Other religions venerate the graves of their leaders because they say this is where he died. This is where we buried him. And that seems to give them a sense of comfort. But in the Christian perspective, it's not the fact that we have a body that gives us comfort. It's the fact that we don't have a body that gives us comfort. And thank God for that. And at Easter time, as we come together to remember the fact that the Lord made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem and then was taken before Pilate, was actually betrayed by a friend and taken before Pilate, and was found innocent, and still was his guilt was still pronounced upon him, and he was taken before the high priest, and they could find really no fault in him, but they used false accusers. I guess I have that out of order. He first went to the high priest, and then he went to Pilate, and then he went to Herod. Nobody could find fault with him. Even Pilate's wife said, "Have thou nothing to do with this just man? For I have suffered many things in a dream because of him." And even though that he was found innocent, he was delivered to be crucified. And this time of the year, we would remember how that in his being crucified, he actually took the place of a Barabbas who should have been crucified, just as he has spiritually taken our place and bore our sins in his own body on the tree. And the proof that God is satisfied with what he did is in the fact that God has raised him from the dead. The tomb is empty. We have our confidence in an empty tomb. We have our confidence in the fact that there is no body, that the Old Testament has been fulfilled, and that he's been raised from the dead. We sometimes sing, "Up from the grave he arose with a mighty victor o'er his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, he arose, hallelujah. Christ arose, and I trust that you have your faith in the risen Lord today." Now, our Heavenly Father, we pray for thy blessing upon this program and upon those who've listened. We thank thee for thy love and for thy salvation, and we just pray that any in our audience that might not know you will come to know you so that they can be ready for that forever that we have been reminded of. Now, we just give thanks in our Savior's name. Amen. Our mailing address is Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. And my website address is bdcministries.com, bdcministries.com. And we do thank you for listening.